Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. I'm your host, Tony DeFio. And if you listened to part one, I thank you for that. If you downloaded part two, I hope to have a great part two for you tonight. And let's see what they're saying in the live chat. And Just Me says, speaking to Clarence Washington, by the way, welcome, Clarence. Clarence, you're late for dinner, but just in time for the six pack. And you are, Clarence, but it's a good thing you didn't see the first half, because I was really stumbling along after having my technical problems, but I'm starting to feel it now. I'm starting to feel in the groove. So let's see if we can have a really great second half. And Sheila Chick 46 asks the crowd, what's in everyone's six pack tonight? Sally, I'm drinking water. Sheila Chick 46, if you keep drinking water, wow, you are going to be glowing. It's much better than a real six pack. Look at my face. Is it glowing? No. Why do you think that is? Because I was drinking beer at bowling last night. So what else we have here? Ooh, Kathy Ford. Maybe she's onto something. And she says, I'm thinking 11-6, hoping for 12-5. Wow, that's coming out. That's coming out strong with the hard takes. Hot takes, I should say. We can only hope, Kathy. We can only hope. Wouldn't that be a turnaround? That would be a great turnaround if that were to happen. All right. And Steeler Chick 46 says, TJ needs a sack this week. Two would even be better. I think you're right. Because I don't think we've seen the force of nature that TJ Watt usually is since he came back from his groin injury. I think it'd be great to see that fast twitch, explosive TJ Watt that we've all come to know and love over the last few years. He needs to return to that guy for this defense to truly be dominant again, I think. I mean, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy to ever replace Tyson Alualu and Stephon Tuitt, but having a 100% TJ Watt will really, I think, go a long way. But speaking of injuries, I have to talk about one that I don't like to talk about, and that's the season-ending injury suffered by Juju Smith-Schuster last Sunday. A major shoulder injury when he was trying to pick up a few extra yards after a short catch. And it was a shame. I mean, you could tell right away that it was a pretty painful injury anyway, the way he was reacting to the trainers and their manipulation as they were assisting him off the field. And you just kind of had a bad feeling about it. And sure enough, those bad feelings were confirmed later that night. And then he had to have surgery the next day. And his season is done. And perhaps his Steeler career is done. And I think it's a shame because I think Juju, quite honestly, in a world that didn't involve social media, and I'm not talking about him, I'm talking about social media where everybody's thoughts are out there at all times. If all Juju, if he was living in an era where all he ever received was snail mail, he might, and all you, and all the fans really had to vent were those talk radio talk shows from the past that we still have today, but aren't as prominent because of social media. I don't think I don't think Juju would be as polarizing a figure as he's turned into over the last couple of years. I think he would be universally loved, on par with Hines Ward or Jerome Bettis or somebody like that. People would just love the guy because he's, you know, always in the community, always doing things with kids, with just a bunch of different charities. And of course, you know, his antics on the field. And when I say antics, I'm talking about, I mean that in a good way. I think he would just be a universally loved figure. Instead, I think certain talk show hosts and a lot of fans have gone a long way in turning him into a almost a villain in the eyes of many. And I think it's a shame. And I think it's a shame that so many people were reveling in his injury on social media. And, you know, mocking him, which it just doesn't make any sense, because you could talk about TikTok, and I don't know why anybody ever does, because I think it has nothing to do with anything. And I don't want to go into that anymore, but you could talk about TikTok, you talk about logo dances, you could talk about all the fun stuff he does away from the field, but the guy always plays his butt off. He always plays hard. He always plays mean and nasty. He's not afraid to go the stick his nose in there and take on blockers. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there and dish out tenacious blocks. And of course, as you saw on Sunday, he's not afraid to stick his nose in there and gain those extra yards. I mean, this is the same guy that knocked Vontaze Burfict into the following week a few years ago. And so to say that he doesn't care about football and he's not focused enough, I always thought that was hogwash, and I will always think that's hogwash. These guys aren't robots. They're human beings, and they're allowed to have a life away from football. And you know, you can't constantly criticize a player for what he does away from the field unless he won a championship. Then he's allowed to do whatever he wants. You know, it doesn't work that way in life. You're allowed to have a social life. And I thought Juju brought far more good to the Steelers organization away from the field than he ever brought bad. And if it wasn't for some people having sticks up their you-know-whats, that stuff probably wouldn't be considered bad either. So it's a shame that Juju, if his career did end the way, as a Steeler did end on Sunday, it's unfortunate that it ended that way, but he'll always be one of my favorites. I mean, you know, I think he could have been at least a really, really, really good number two receiver if given the chance, but he never really had a great chance to be that over the last two plus years because of the various situations that the offense was dealing with Ben's injury and the line, the problems with the line, new coordinator, him essentially having to shift roles from an outside receiver to sort of like the short yardage slot receiver who they relied on for the big the hard-nosed catches, the third-down catches in traffic constantly. It's a shame that he didn't get a chance, but I think if he would have been allowed to play that role, maybe he's not as explosive as Claypool or Johnson, but I think he could still be really, really good at it. So who knows what the future holds for him as far as his NFL career. I mean, it's not a season-ending injury. He'll bounce back from it. Just a matter of, will he bounce back here or somewhere else, and I'm hoping he bounces back here, but I can certainly understand if that doesn't happen, because that's just the nature of the NFL and it's the nature of sports. And guys like Juju, it's hard to keep them forever when you have so many other players you have to pay and you know. So best of luck to Juju. And I think it's going to be he's going to eventually, once he overcomes this, you know, the grief he's experiencing, the depression he's experiencing from this injury. And you saw him, how emotional he got. I think it was Sunday night or maybe Monday night when he was speaking at one of his functions. He got really emotional talking about how much he loves the game of football. But I think once he just kind of gets past that sort of depression, that and that reality that his season is over, I think the old Juju will return and he'll be a presence in the community. Maybe he'll be on the radio. Who knows? But I get the feeling Juju's going to be a man of the people for the remainder of his time here in 2021. If that's all there is with him as a Steeler, he's going to make the most of it and make us all entertain us all as only he can. So, before I open things up to questions and comments, I'd be remiss if I didn't offer my condolences to Jerry Osofsky, the Steelers linebackers coach and inside linebackers coach and former inside linebacker, who lost his wife unexpectedly, I'm assuming on Friday. There was no word as to what caused the illness, or I'm sorry, the death, but it was certainly a shock, and you can only imagine what he's going through. I remember, when he played for the Steelers from 89 through the mid 90s, he was a bachelor back then in his 20s. He would often go on the radio, you know, when he was talking to Myron or whomever, and he would always like slip in a little side note. By the way, I'm a single bachelor looking for a date. And, you know, eventually he found the woman he would marry, and it's such a tragic loss. So my thoughts and prayers go out to Jerry O, and that's all I really can say about that. It's just a tragedy. So on that note, I will open things up to some questions and comments from the live chat. And Jason Kennard says about Sunday night's game against the Seahawks at Heinz Field, knowing the Steelers, they are going to make this game hard or possibly even lose. They always do that. I hope we win 31-13, but you know how they are. Well, I mean, the Seahawks aren't a bad team. So, I mean, it's not like they're playing little sisters of the poor. I'm just saying I have a good feeling about the game based on the kind of role the offense has been on, quote unquote, the role the offense has been on the last couple of weeks. Plus, how bad the Seahawks defense has been stats wise this year. But the Seahawks are a proud franchise in their own right, and they've been a perennial contender for the past decade or so. So, you know, they're not going to come in here and just lay down they're not going to just roll over and go to sleep. They're going to put up a fight. And you know, Pete Carroll's a pretty motivational coach, so. But I get a feeling it's going to be a decent win. I'm not going to say it's going to be like the Sunday night game against the Chiefs in 2016 where they won, well, was it like 45-14? But I get the feeling it might be that kind of – it might feel like that kind of lopsided win when all is said and done. So, Russ Obenstein says this is a character and coming together game. That's right. Sean Manahan says, what's up? Wes Hickok says, I did great. I don't know at what. Hopefully at my recovery from the technical difficulties. And Wes Hickok, speaking of Wes, this is a pretty hot take. And he says, definitely think we can keep playing like last week. 12-5, 13-4. My original prediction is still possible. That's right. Mathematically speaking, they can still finish. Heck, they can finish 14-3. That would be great, wouldn't it? But I'd settle for a nice, you know, if they can get on the kind of roll that they were on at the end of 2016, speaking of that year, when they won seven games in a row to close out the regular season, won the AFC North, and then made it all the way to the AFC title game. Nobody thought that was possible at one point in that season. They were 4-5. They lost four games in a row. They lost Ben for a while there for a game and a half or so with a torn meniscus. Cam Hayward was lost for the year with a torn pec against the Cowboys. They looked done. Yet they came back and won the division. So yeah, anything's possible. We just don't know a whole lot about this team yet because there's so many youngsters on this team, especially on offense, that haven't really quite proven themselves just yet. So there are a lot of unknowns, but you know, just take it one game at a time, right? And Mule Skinner asks, do you guys use StreamYard when together? You're talking about the Hangover, those kind of shows? Yeah, we use StreamYard for everything, for all the live shows. Sean Manahan says, I remember the 95 season. They were 3-4 and went on to the Super Bowl. That's right. Although I think that was a more talented team. At least history has proven that out because they actually went, as you said, they went to the Super Bowl. The year before, they were in the AFC Championship game. Two years later, they were in that same AFC Championship game. So that was quite the team that Bill Cowher had back then. But, hey, you never know. This is a pretty young team. That's the one good thing about it. That's one thing people don't realize is aside from Ben, this is a really, really young team. I think somebody said they're the second youngest team in the NFL if you take Ben away, which maybe even with him on his age included, they're still the second youngest team in the NFL. So there's hope there. And Modster, the happy Monster, he donates $1.99 Super Chat. Thank you, Monster. And he says, Highsmith gets 1.5 sacks and 2 quarterback hits. Print it. Well, I don't have a printer, but I'll take note. I'll write it down. I have a pen on me, but I have my notebook right here, and I'll put it in there, Monster. And I'll remember you said that on Monday. We're on the Hangover. I'll even give you credit if he gets 2 or 3 sacks. Although he might be mad at you for downing him with just 1.5 sacks. We'll see. And George Teston says a TJ strip sack and fumble or two would be nice. Well, yeah, it's always nice. Devin Logan says of Juju, he's just trying to have fun. It's a social media platform. That's right. He's just trying to have fun. I don't know. You know, it is a game. The weird thing about sports and sports fans is they often like to remind players that they get to play a game for a living. But then when they show any kind of enthusiasm, any kind of sort of kid-like enthusiasm for the game, or just show any kind of personality, they say, oh, you're at work. You need to be a professional, so you can't win sometimes. And Kathy Ford asks, is Juju good enough to appear on Behind the Steel Curtain? I think so. I've seen him on other similar podcasts, so why not ours? You never know. I mean, Zach Banner, we got Zach Banner, so why not Juju? Juju would love, I'm sure he would jump at the chance. Hint, hint, if you're watching Juju. What a get that would be, right? And Lumberzack asks, Tony, what do you think they're going to do with Banner when he comes back? Start him or don't touch the continuity? I'd say start him because Shuk's literally just hit his ceiling and is back to normal. Well, what if he crashed through that ceiling? But I think right now, as things stand right now, I think they would probably insert Banner as a starter. But if Shuk's continues to play well, if he builds off of that Von Miller performance, I don't see any reason to change. I mean, as you said, you wouldn't want to ruin or disrupt the continuity. So I would leave Shuk's in there, but who knows? I mean, I guess that's a bridge we'll have to cross when we get to it. Steeler Chick 46 says of Jerry O, his tragic loss, prayers for his family. That's right. It's such a tragedy. I couldn't even imagine that. And Shannon White, my colleague on Monday's podcast, he says, so sad to hear about Jerry's wife's passing. Prayers for him and his family. That's right. Yeah, it was such a shame. So thank you, Shannon. And Mule Skinner says, will Derek Watt ever get a carry or a reception? I'm going to say no. Based on everything we've seen from the guy since he's become a Steeler, he's probably just going to remain a special teams guy, and that's it. I mean, maybe he'll come in as a fullback and block every now and then, but he doesn't appear to be in their future as any kind of an offensive weapon. But that's fine. I mean, if the offense can perform, who cares? I mean, Derek Watt. It's not like we're talking about John L. Williams as far as fullbacks are concerned. I mean, I think if his name was Derek Williams, not Derek Watt, people wouldn't even think anything of it. He would just be some special teams guy. That's all. I don't know. I'm not worried about Derek Watt and him being a contributor. I'm more worried about the line improving and guys like Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth continuing to get better as young targets for Ben or whoever the future quarterback happens to be. Because I think those guys can all be superstars. All three of those guys can be superstars if they continue to grow. And Just Me says, Tony, how's work going? Good. Work's going fine. Nothing to complain about. Still trying to find my next really great career. I've been bouncing around for 5 years, trying to find my niche. And in the meantime, though, I found podcasting, which has been great. I've honed that skill, or honed's a pretty strong word. I've developed my skill as a podcaster, which I'm grateful for. It's something I never thought I'd get a chance to do. So this has been a lot of fun. Who would have thought I'd be hosting my own podcast? So I'm grateful to Jeff and Brian and Dave and everybody for giving me the chance. But in the meantime, I'm just plugging away, trying to find my next big thing. So thank you for asking, Just Me. Russ Omenstein says, of Wes's optimism, love your optimism, Wes. We all need to be like that. We are the Steelers at our best when backs are against the wall. Well, that certainly describes them right now, that 2-3, but they're on a bit of a roll, or not, I shouldn't say a bit of a roll. They're feeling pretty good right now. And Lakuta 70 says, I just hope you're not looking past the Seahawks and are looking for the Browns game. I don't think they are. I don't think you can be looking past anybody at 2-3. And besides that, they have the bye coming up after the game. So they're not looking at past anything. They might be looking past the Seahawks to a nice break, but they're certainly not worried about the Browns right now, in my opinion, anyway, because of the bye. Brian Brown says, Seattle supposedly has a bad defense. Whenever a team supposedly has a bad defense, they always play the Steelers tough. Well, I mean, you know, that's like the whole, they always play down to the level of their competition thing, which they don't always play down to the level of their competition. That's just, we always remember the times that they do, but you know, put it this way. If this was a 2015, 2016, 2017 Steelers offense with AB and Bell and Martavis and all those guys in the best line in the NFL, they would tear this defense to shreds. I would be totally confident in that. But it's a wild card now because you just don't know about the offense yet. It's still a work in progress. It's still going to have some growing pains. So you never know. And Steelers Pittsburgh says of Zach Banner, he does a lot of talking, but he hasn't been on the field to back it up. Well, I mean, what's he talking about other than he's talking about, from what I've seen of him, he's just trying to pump up his teammates. Mostly when I see him talking, it's a motivational thing, But, I mean, you're right. He hasn't been out there yet. He really hasn't proven himself as a starting O-lineman in the NFL. I mean, his most significant playing time so far has been as a jumbo package tight end. So, he definitely has a lot to prove. And, you know, what people seem to forget about Banner is that competition between him and Shooks back in 2020, that the training camp competition for the right tackle spot was supposedly a really close competition. So when you see how much Shooks has struggled over the last couple of years, it makes you wonder, can he be an upgrade? I guess we'll find out sooner rather than later, hopefully. Wow, Mule Skinner says Cody White, their reserve receiver, the guy who's probably going to get more playing time now with Juju out. He will score a TD. I don't care who scores, but that would be a pretty big story if he does score. Although I'm looking for James Washington to really maybe prosper from this chance for more playing time. And George Teston says, he admonishes me, "You are a writer without a printer and a pencil? Come on, Tony." Well, I have my pen somewhere around here. I had it before the... Oh, there it is. It's back there on my dining room table. As far as the printer, you got me. I haven't had a printer in probably 15 years. Whatever. I mean, how many things you have to print now anyway? I mean, the occasional resume, and I can always go to FedEx for that, or my sister has a printer or whatever, but yeah, I guess I should get a printer someday. And speaking of James Washington, something I want to touch on. Remember those rumors that circulated? I don't know if it was during training camp, or I guess it was during training camp, about him wanting to be traded because he felt like he was blocked from being able to do anything because of the numbers at receiver. Well, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I was against that kind of a thing, because now you're going to need that guy. We talked about how they were four deep at receiver. Well, if they traded Washington, they'd be two deep at receiver right now. Now they have three young and talented receivers, and now James Washington's going to get a chance to prove that he can be a really productive player in the NFL over these last, how many games? 11, 12 games. Yeah, 12 games. So that's why I was all about keeping the best 53 players for 2021, and I wasn't worried about accruing any draft picks for 2022 and beyond. That's I could care less about that, and that's why I'm glad they didn't trade Washington. All right. And Russ Obenstein says of Shooks, when he plays against a top guy, he always steps up. Yeah, he held his own against Aaron Donald a couple of years ago. And of course, I believe that's like the second time now that he's dominated Von Miller. So maybe it's just a matter of, like Shannon said on Monday, maybe it's just a matter of Shooks being able to dredge up that intensity each and every week, not just when he's playing against the big guys, but being a professional and going to work each and every Sunday and bringing it 110% no matter who you're going up against. Maybe that's something that he has to learn yet. Yeah, people forget this guy's, he's fairly new to American football. I mean, I'm sure he's as experienced at it as anybody who maybe started playing 10 years ago at a young age, but you know, he's not from here. He's not from America. He's not steeped in that intensity about football that we have here in this country. So maybe it's something that he has to learn over time. But if he can do that, I mean, you know, if it's just a matter of finding that intensity, ratcheting up that intensity whenever he has to, then maybe he can turn into a really good player if he's able to find that switch. So, but he does seem to do a really good job against really good, talented players. I don't know what that's all about, but again, it could be just a part of the maturing process for him, maturation process. Emile Skinner says, I would start more all year as he is the future and has to learn he has more upside than Shooks. Well, I think he's certainly been holding his own, and he's a natural left tackle. I think that's the only position he really knows right now. And I would keep him there because he has given them no reason to remove him. I would keep him there, and I think it would just be a matter of, is it going to be Shooks or Banner on the right side? And in my opinion, if Shooks loses out, he's still a pretty decent player. He's decent enough that you would feel confident in him being your swing tackle. And plus you have Joe Haig, who's versatile and has already played some this season. So, you know, if you get Banner back, I think that makes that line, the depth anyway, so much better. So hopefully he's back soon. And Brian Brown says, Geno Smith will throw picks if pressured. Is this the game Hayden or Minka gets an interception? No, I think it's the game that James Pierre gets a second straight interception, a big one, and he's going to return it, not for a touchdown, but deep into, I almost said New York territory because that's where Geno Smith used to play, deep into Seattle territory. That's my prediction. Write it down. I don't have a pen on me. And Mule Skinner says of me, Tony, you do a great job. Thank you. And wow, this is I can't believe it, man. The way the show started, now my ego is getting inflated. I'm going to ask for more money. And Russ Obenstein says, you're my favorite solo podcast. Wow, thank you, Russ. That actually means a lot. That makes me feel good. Makes me, that really gives me, that really warm and fuzzy feeling in my stomach. And Brian Brown says, BTSC is a big thing to me, Tony. Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate it. We have so many great fans and listeners and readers. And BTSC has been such a big part of my life for the last 11 years. So I'm glad it's such an important thing for so many people out there because it really is a great site. And they do such a great job of always keeping everybody informed, entertained. We have a lot of great stuff in store for you, even for the bye weeks. A lot of great podcasts, so great opportunities for you. So please keep coming back, even during the bye. You're not going to be sorry. So on that note, since and Just Me says I rock is alone. Wow, I got to stop reading these. It's a lone podcast. I'm just going to get so egotistical, but nah, I'm just kidding. I really am sincerely flattered. So thank you guys for the support. But on that note, I'm going to call it a night. And I thank you for listening and watching. And again, please download parts 1 and 2 on the audio platform if you couldn't catch this live. And please continue to check out Behind the Steel Curtain all weekend, all next week, all throughout the bye. We're going to be bringing you content each and every day, both in the written form and in the podcasting form. And enjoy your weekend and enjoy the Steeler game on Sunday. Let's hope for a win. And until I talk to you again on Monday on The Hangover, go Steelers.
Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow.